Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
I'm excited to talk to you about what's next. I talked to you before I left, and I said, you know what, I need to get away. We've been at this for 6 years. We planted and started this church with six people in the firehouse down the street, and then we went to Bonfils Auditorium, and then God gave us this building this past winter, and we've slowly been rehabbing it and doing so much to it. And so what's next for us? Now that God has blessed us with a place and we've been able to, you know, kind of put some roots down, what comes after this? And for those of you who are new here today, you're probably going like, okay, so what exactly is going on? This is the perfect time to be here because where we're going next is mostly about you and about reaching more of your friends and more of your family, more of your neighbors and people who may not have a church home. So I premise this by saying this is not a sermon today. Okay? This is not a sermon. This is not going to be preachy or anything like that. Next week, we're going to start a new sermon series. That's usually what we do around here. We do series. And we're starting a new series called Becoming a Kid Again. And I want you to come back next Sunday, invite your friends. The sermons start next week, okay? But today, what I want to do is just tell you a little bit about where we're going and who we are and kind of redefining that a little bit. And the first thing that I did is I really started to look at our mission and vision statement. You know, any company's mission and vision statement really kind of tells who they are, what they're about, and exactly what they're trying to do. And so this was our mission and vision statement before. You may have remembered this. If you're new here today, this is what it was. You can forget it after I say it. But our mission was to make disciples, right? Because that's what Jesus called us to do. He said, go make disciples. So our mission has always been to make disciples. And our vision, your vision is your way that you do that or who you want to be, what you want to look like. Our vision was bringing the kingdom to light. Now, I looked at this as I sat in Starbucks many mornings, and I said, you know, that word disciples is a bit confusing to most people. What in the world is a disciple? And in today's language, it almost sounds kind of cultish. And then, you know, bringing the kingdom to light, you know, a lot of us knew what that meant. A lot of us could read that back to us. But for somebody who's on the outside, they don't know exactly what kingdom we're talking about, and they don't know exactly how we're bringing it to light. And so I kind of sharpened that and redefined that. And so this is our new mission statement. Our new mission statement is leading people to a growing relationship with Jesus. That is who we are, and that is why we exist. We are leading people. We are helping people discover God, and we are leading them to a growing relationship with Jesus. And that's a very, very important part, because what that means to me and what it should mean for every single one of us is that none of us are done. Nobody comes in here, finds a relationship with God, finds a church, and just goes to church every Sunday and reads their Bible, and yay, I'm going to heaven, and that's all I care about. No. It's a growing relationship with God, and we want to see everybody find this as their church home. We want to lead them then to a relationship with Christ, but we want them to understand, and what I want you to all understand, is that that relationship is never fully complete. It has to be a constantly evolving, constantly transforming, constantly growing process. We should all be growing in our relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. But then that takes us to our vision statement. Really, all of our churches have the same mission statement. At least every church should, right? Lead people to a relationship with Jesus or a growing relationship with Jesus. But vision is what can make you unique. Vision is what can make you stand out and different from the others. And we have a lot of great churches in this area, in this county, that are fantastic to worship at. But what is going to make us different from the rest? And I believe it's this: to be a church that people who don't like church love to attend. Let me read that again. To be a church that people who don't like church love to attend. Many of you, this is already your story. This is not too far off from who we already were and what we were once trying to accomplish. A lot of you came into this church with a jaded experience, with stories of meeting some whacked out, crazy Christians who judged you, who made you feel bad about your choices in life, about your circumstances in life, about who you were, about your family, about your addiction, about whatever it may be. You grew up in the church and you were taught something and you found that it was fake. You found that it wasn't real. You found that it wasn't genuine and you left the church. But when you found Anchored Hope, when you came in here, you found something more genuine. You found something unique. You found something honest. You found a place where you could be yourself and actually admit your faults, admit that you don't have your life all together, admit that you aren't perfect, and admit that you are still trying to discover how to be a good parent, how to be a good spouse, how to be a good child, how to grow in your business, how to figure out what in the world I'm supposed to do in this life. You found that here because this is a place where unchurched people love to attend. Because you can walk in here and you can be gay, you can be transgender, you can be a sinner, you can be an addict, you can be poor, you can be broke, you can be rich, and it doesn't matter. You can even be atheist, and still you feel like this church can be your church home. Even if you don't agree with everything you agree with. And that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to be a church that unchurched people, people who don't like church, love to attend. And then that leads us to our strategy. How are we going to do that? And that's really, again, what we've been doing. Our strategy in all of this is to show people the love of Jesus, sharing the love of Jesus with our community. This is why we do things like the affordable Christmas shop, why we do things like trunk or treat, Easter egg hunts, and many more things that we're going to do that are going to be brand new this year because we have all these new tools and gifts and people who are so creative. We are all about sharing the love of Jesus with our community. We are going to be a church that is known for what they are for, not what they are against. We are for healthy marriages that last and who never have to see divorce. We are for children and we are for teens. We are for the next generation and we are investing in the generation that's coming behind us, not only in ourselves. We are all about being generous and giving away and following what God said was the greatest command, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's our strategy. That's who we've always been. But we're going to dial it in even more. To share the love of Jesus. Now, as I wrote that and as I looked at that and thought about that, I thought, I like that. That's who we are, but just a little bit sharpened, you know? But then it kind of led me to think about what we value as a church. You know, your values, any business or corporation's values are what we celebrate. It's what we talk about. It's what we measure. And so I said, okay, if this is our new mission and vision statement, if this is our strategy, what is it that we're going to celebrate as a church? What's important to us? What are our values? Because before, I bet none of you can even say one of our previous values. We had some written in the bylaws, but none of you could probably repeat back to me what they were because they were churchy. They were super churchy. And so I looked at those and I thought, you know what? I'm going to redo these. I'm going to totally revamp these. And I had an empty journal and I scribbled and scribbled and scribbled every day. And I erased and I added and I wrote. And it looked like a beautiful mind. I look like a crazy person, okay? You should see my basement. I have red yarn attached to pictures and things. But I wanted to think about what it is we value. And I came up with simply four values. Four simple values. Things that we want to celebrate. Things that we want to be. Things that we want to see in your life. And I looked at these, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to take a minute. I was so proud of these, all right? Because I looked at these, and I thought, you know what? This is what I want for my own life. This is what I want for my kids' life. This is what I want for my family. This is what I want for my friends. I want to see these four values lived out in my friends and my family and my neighbors. If everybody could get a hold of these four values, if these four values could become things that they value, if our church would get on board with this and value these same things, who wouldn't want to attend that church? No matter what your area of life or whatever chapter you're in, who wouldn't want to go to that church? I would want to go to that church. And so I want to share those with you today. You guys ready for this? You're being a bit quiet. I haven't gotten used to this, okay? But the first one is this, experience. We value experience. We want people to have experiences with God. We want people to have experiences with other people. people's experiences matter so, so very much. You know, during these 8 weeks, I went to different churches every week. 1 week, I snuck in here and I hid in the cafe like a creeper, okay? So if you didn't know it was me, it was me. I was hiding in the cafe because I got tired of visiting other churches. Because let me tell you, I had some terrible experiences. It was awful, and I didn't want to go back. There was maybe one church that I was like, I would go back here. But all the other churches were like, no, I would never enter here again because I had a terrible experience. And people's experiences matter. When people have a good experience, they want to come back. They want to be a part of it. They want to invest in it. They want to be one of the family. And man, I tell you, I had some awful experiences. 8 weeks. Okay, 8 weeks, 6 churches. Not 1 week did anybody ever come up to me and go, hey, what's your name? Never. Never did anybody ask me my name. People shook my hand at the door like, hey, what's up? And then I would pass them, and then I would become a ghost. I mean, a ghost. And I mean, I did. I felt invisible as a new person. And let me tell you, I made it as easy as possible for these people. I am so used to getting here early that I got to churches an hour before they started. And then, you know, I'm on this sabbatical, so I would just start exploring. And seriously, one of the churches, they had locked doors. I think it was the nursery, but it was an area I wasn't supposed to go in. And I went in and I jiggled the handles. And like 4 people looked at me like, what's he doing? And I was like, and then they just looked at me, and then they didn't say anything to me. Like, hello? Obviously, I'm either a weirdo or a new person. Pick one. You should come and talk to me, you know? There was even one church, they give you this big old paper bag that says visitor on it. And I give you like 9 pamphlets and a present and all these things. I'm walking around with this paper bag. I basically might as well have a sign in my hand that says, please, someone talk to me. I'm new here today. 1 week, I made my daughter Olivia come to church with me because I said, honey, I need a friend. I need someone to talk to. Please, be my friend. And so I brought her to church with me, you know? And we went to a church where the donuts weren't free. And Olivia's sitting there, she goes, this is a ripoff. You know, it's like, I know, I'm going to hate this place. I'm going to write a bad Google review on them. But I had a terrible experience. Look, if you're new here today, I promise you today, before you leave, somebody's going to shake your hand and ask you your name. This is why our first impressions are so important. Our first impressions ministry, what you guys do at the door, what our new welcome team is going to be doing, is we want people to come in and have a good experience. And then when they come here, we want them to experience God. People should experience God in a real way, not just learn about God, but experience God. This is exactly how we grow. The Apostle Paul talked about this. Paul said this in the scripture verse. He said, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. He says, everybody should know this. Everybody should know, not just know it in their head, but it be real. Everybody should know how much God loves them, how much God is for them, how much God will never leave them. And you go, okay, well, how are they going to know that? And then Paul says, may you experience the love of Christ. May you experience it, though it is too great to fully understand, but then you will be made perfect with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Being in a relationship with God is not something you learn about. It is something you experience. It is something that you know is real in your heart. It's something that you can take with you, and you don't get it from a book, or you don't get it from a lecture or a video. It is something that you feel that is real, that calls you to it. And we set up that experience with people. In our worship, what our worship band does, in our children's department, what our teachers do, all of it is setting up an experience for people. And we want people to experience God so that they can understand just a little bit about how much God loves them and how much God is for them. Because when people do that, we are made complete. We get a better handle on life. We get a better handle on marriage. We get a better handle on our finances. We become better parents. We become better neighbors, better coworkers. That is when we're made complete in all the fullness of life, when we experience it. And so we want people to have good experiences. Now that leads me to this. The next thing I want to talk to you guys about is growth. We value growth so much. I believe in all of my heart, and this is something, this isn't anything new, that everyone has room to grow. Everyone has room to grow. Again, if you're new here today, you are in a room that is imperfect with imperfect people. Everyone has room to grow, and we want to see that growth. We want everybody to grow in their relationship with God. Nobody should be the same today as they were a year ago. We want everybody, again, leading people to a growing relationship with Christ. It's so very important. Again, Paul talked about this in his letter, back to his letter in Ephesus. This is what he said. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. This is what we want to do. We want to speak the truth in love. Again, speak about what we are for more than what we are against and see everyone grow in every way more and more like Christ. Look, if you attend here, if this is your church home, if you want to be a part of this mission and this vision, here's the thing. We are not shooting for law-abiding citizen. We're not. We're not shooting for good person. We're not even shooting for make it to heaven. We are far beyond that. We are shooting for Jesus. That's our marker. That's who we want to be. And you know what's the amazing thing that history tells us? Nobody disliked Jesus except for the religious people. Nobody but churchy people disliked Jesus. I mean, the addicts, the broken, the poor, the murderers, the thieves, they all loved Jesus. And that's who we want everyone to look like. That's who we want everyone to be. We want them to grow in every single way. And here's the amazing thing that happens when we grow. When we grow inside, we have an impact outside. When we grow inside, we are able to have an even bigger impact outside. Again, I love what John also wrote too. He says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. We want people to have an experience here every single week in all of our different environments where they are able to grow and grow even more in the love of God so that they can grow inside and have an even bigger impact outside. And that leads me to my third value, generosity. We want people to be generous. I want everybody in this room, I want everybody in life to experience the joys of generosity. Again, this isn't about like collecting money or anything like that. What I'm talking about is the experience of generosity and what happens when you are a generous person. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife, when he came here from Nebraska to start this church, we have put our blood, sweat, and our tears into this place. We have sacrificed financially. We have sacrificed time-wise. We have poured our family into this place, and it is the greatest thing we have ever done. The sacrifices, I'm not whining by any means. I am so proud of the time and the work I have put into this place, and I have no plans to ever leave. It's mine. I'm sorry. You're going to have to kick me out before it happens because I put my stamp on this place, and I've put my blood and my sweat and my tears in this place. I put my life into this place because I care about it, and I believe it, and I've sacrificed for it. And I want everybody to experience what that's like because here's the thing. When you are generous, you are able to have a purpose in this life. You are able to impact somebody else's life. Again, as I talked about before when we passed the baskets, this is your opportunity to do something for somebody else, to not be selfish, but to be selfless. And I love what the scriptures say. It's a great psalm from David. David wrote this. He said, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. David was talking about the people who are being generous. And he says, man, they give generously. And here's the great thing is they're building this legacy. They will be remembered forever. The lives that they're pouring into, the things that they're building, the experiences that they are giving and providing for other people, they are creating a legacy. And that legacy is terrific because it creates influence and honor. Look, you want to have a lasting legacy in this life, don't you? Don't you want to be remembered for something? Don't you want people to stand up at your funeral and not talk about the materialistic things that you bought or the house that you built or the hobbies that you had and all the little things that you collected? Don't you want somebody one day to stand up and say, you know what? I'm here today. I'm where I am today because this person was generous to me. because they showed up when I needed them. They poured their life into my life. They gave me something that nobody else was able to give me. They provided an experience for me that became a marker in my life that I could never get away from. That's what we all want. We all want to be in a position to be able to influence people and have honor in this life to where people, we can be proud of what we did in this short time on this earth. That only comes through being a generous person. That only comes through generosity and by practicing that. And here's the thing, if you don't have a plan to give, you don't have a plan to live. Because your life is just about consumption, 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 consumption. But the true way of living I believe in, that I found in my life, and I'm not saying it was easy to get there, trust me. I was the guy who used to never give to church. I was the guy who would do the bare minimum. But I'm telling you because I've tested it, and I invite you to test it too, that when you are generous to other people with your time, with your talents, with your money, with your possessions, whatever it may be, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about all the areas you can be generous. You have a legacy that is built. A legacy that has influence, that's able to change the world, that's able to change people. And that's an honorable thing. That's something that's worth talking about. That's something worth celebrating. And we want everyone to have that because generosity is not something extra to do. It's not. It's not something extra. It's not something to do whenever you feel like it. Everyone should have a plan to give. Everybody should have a plan to serve. A plan to be freely giving to other people and to share with people, no matter what the circumstances may be. And then that leads me to our last one. Our last value is friendship. Now, I'm pretty proud of this one because I don't believe there's a church in the world that they value friendship. Here's the first word I wrote, and then I scratched it out, and I was like, that makes me mad. You know what the first word was? Community, right? Community. Everybody's heard that before, you know? Community. What do you value? Well, we value community. And I got thinking about that word, and I hate that word, okay? Here's why. That word is bull. That is. It is bull. And here's what got me thinking about that. So, you know, I live in a lot of different worlds. I'm a part of a CrossFit box and a CrossFit community, and they're always talking about the CrossFit community. And then I live in a neighborhood, and I'm HOA president, and I always talk to them about community. We have HOA meetings all the time, and we're like, I'm like, be a community. Let's be a community, 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 community. But here's the thing that struck me when I was thinking about this. Here's the truth. And in the CrossFit world, they are. They're a great community. It's great to be a part of. But here's the truth. If you get hurt in the CrossFit community, or if you need to take a break and you cancel your membership, I guarantee you nobody's calling you to make sure you're okay the next week. Maybe one person. But if you're not there with them when it's convenient, they're not really part of the community. When you're there, you're part of the community. But if you're not there, you're not really part of the community, and you're kind of just forgotten about. It's the same thing in my neighborhood, man. I will be totally honest with you. I preach community to my neighborhood all the time. But here's what I really mean by that. Stop talking bad about each other on Facebook. If somebody's house lights on fire, we should all go help. Otherwise, let's stay out of each other's business, and will somebody please stop pooping in my yard? That's what I mean when I talk about community in my neighborhood. Now, here's the difference, though. I live in a community of people in my neighborhood, and if anybody had an emergency, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But otherwise, I keep to myself. However, my neighbors next to me, the Spees, Adam and Sarah and their kids who go to our church, they are my friends. Now, the Spees, I see them every other couple of days. Adam and I text all the time while I was on my sabbatical. We got a movie pass. Every Monday, we went and saw a movie together. We are friends. I creep on their windows and see what they're doing at night. You know, we are friends. And that's the only reason they don't call the cops on me. There's a difference there, right? Friendship is different. And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, we talk about being a church family. We want everybody to feel close and all that stuff. But here's the thing. I thought that is so shallow and so weak. That is not what I'm shooting for. I want us to value friendship, not community. Real friendship. And here's the thing. There's a big difference between being friendly and being a friend. We're pretty good at being friendly. But I think we have tons of room to grow in being honest, real friends. having real relationships that are meaningful, people who we know we can count on. And here's the thing, we have slacked on this so very badly. And there are people here, new people who have come in the last couple months, new people who are here today, even some people who have been with us from the very beginning, who want to make friends, who want friendships, who want to meet other married couples or other couples who have just had a baby, who have had, you know, different life situations, who work in the kind of field that they work in, who are also empty nesters, who are also single, who are also divorced. We have so many people here who want to make friends. And some of us, we have friends that we need to get rid of or move on from because they're not good influences in our life. But the problem is we can't let go of them because there are no other good options. Because it's like speed dating again. Where do you meet good friends, you know, that also have, you know, the family values you do or also want to see their kid, you know, grow up and not be a psychopath? Where do you find those kind of people? Well, hopefully here. Hopefully people that follow Jesus. Hopefully people who believe in loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, unless you just walk up to somebody like a weirdo in church and go, can we be friends? It's not going to happen, right? It's my job to set that up and to create those environments. And so we are going to create the environments where you can make friends. And that's the whole point of our life groups today, launching. What we're going to do is we're going to collect these cards and we're going to have this event circle up. And on October 19th, that Friday night, we're going to get together and everyone is going to have a group. Everyone will have a group. If you want one, I will give you one. And then in that group, you are going to be dedicated to that group for a year. And in that group, you will meet every week for an hour and a half to hang out, to learn together, and to pray together. And that group is going to become your group of friends. But you've got to be dedicated to it. We're going to do at least 3 weeks on, 1 week off. But I want you to be with those people every single week. And we're going to help you find childcare because we believe the best environments that I've seen are the ones where children are you know, kind of tucked away in a safe place where we're not constantly going, was that my kid or your kid? Okay? We want that for you. And I know, I shared this with the leadership team this night, and it was already like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I have time. Look. You're already doing it. Don't do it. Here's the thing I believe, because I found this in almost everything I do. You have all the time in the world. You choose what you do with your time. You do. You choose what you invest in and what you do with your time. And if it's important enough for you, you will find a way to make it happen, and we will help you do that. You can find an hour and a half to spend with other people. You can. I will help you do it. And we're going to make it possible. And here's the thing. If that's not for you, if you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want a group. That's fine. You still come to church here. But here's the thing. There's a lot of us here who are ready to make friends, and we can't wait. So we're going to do this. And I don't know how many groups we're going to have. I don't know how many of you really want this. But I literally, on my sabbatical, people came up to me that attend our church. And we're like, sorry, before I let you eat your dinner, I just got one question. Are we ever going to have groups because I want to make friends? Yes. And I have felt convicted by that. And we have dragged our feet. We have dragged our feet on this for way too long. And so it's time to do that. Because we all need friends. We all need people who truly and honestly care about us and want to help us grow in our relationship with Christ. We really believe that everybody should have a safe place to explore their faith at their own pace. And that's where this is going to happen at. For people to be able to discover what their faith is and what they truly believe, not by just listening to me for, you know, 30 minutes every week, but by getting together with other people and discussing it and being with other people, because that's where growth happens. It's time to get out of our rows and get into circles, and that's why the event's called Circle Up. I want you out of your rows and into circles, talking to other people and making those friendships. This week, I had to say goodbye to one of my friends, Brenda Raycott, who were friend to some of you. My family, they started another church 17 years ago. And about 10 years ago, that first Sunday, I was in seventh grade, and I was a greeter at the door. And I remember Brenda Raycott came that very first day. And Brenda came in, and I shook her hand, and Brenda was the type of person that she believed in God, but she would tell you she didn't have a relationship with God. And Brenda came to our church that first Sunday, and she continued to go to our church ever since. Because she was somebody who didn't like church, but she found that our church was a church that she could enjoy, that she could learn from, that where she always used to say, I feel like I could be myself here. So Brenda came to our church, and then Brenda actually ended up being on the First Impressions team, and her husband Dave, they would greet you at the door every 3 weeks. They would serve in that area, and they were so loving and so passionate about it. And about 10 years ago, Brenda got diagnosed with cancer. And Brenda fought that cancer. And one of the great things about Brenda is she never, ever complained. The last time that my family talked to her, we had no idea how bad she was. But we talked to her, my mom talked to her on the phone, and she said, I'm doing great. And she was terminally ill. She was dying at that time. And she passed away. And we had her funeral this past Wednesday. And I'm looking at Brenda, and I'm just having all these memories, these 17 long, you know, friendship that we had. And I'm looking at all the people who, you know, attended that church and the people who knew her. She had so many friends, so many people that she had poured into. And they passed the mic around to people, anybody who wanted to say anything. And people just stood up one by one talking about how generous she was, about how, you know, my mother-in-law died and she didn't even know her, and she drove with us to Kentucky to the funeral just to be with us, and I don't know why in the world she did it. Other people who battled cancer alongside of her who just said, you know what, Brenda was always had faith. It was so weird. She was always thinking it was going to be okay. She always told me God was going to heal me. She always, every time I got depressed, she lifted me back up. It's like cancer never even bothered her. It's because she was growing in a relationship with God, and she had all these tremendous experiences that became markers in her life where she knew no matter what happens, God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. God is always going to have my back. It was those experiences that made her the person she was, that grew her to be more and more like Jesus, to where she became such a generous person and had such an impact. At the funeral, there was no room. Every seat was taken, every spot was filled with an empty chair, and then there were people standing out in the lobby. She had this life that everyone loved. She had a legacy that was worth remembering, that impacted other people. And I looked at that, and I just listened to everyone speak about her and the person that she was. I thought, man, this is what I want everyone to experience. I wish every person had a funeral like this, where it wasn't just for certain where they were spending eternity or what they were doing, but they had a life that wasn't just about, well, they were a good person or they were a good family member, but that was a person that was like, here's how generous they were. Here's the impact they had. Here's what they did for other people. A life of love is what it was. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for your marriage. That's what I want for your kids. That's what I want for your teenagers. That's what I want you to find in your life. And I believe that this is what's going to get us there, to take us even further to leading more people to a relationship with Jesus, to being even more so a church that people who don't like church love to attend, by valuing experiences and treating those as important, by valuing growth and not just our lives, but in other people, and providing the environments for that. But by valuing generosity and by being a church that gives away more than it collects in, and by being a church that really, truly, honestly does value friendship, not community and not fake bull, but friendship that's real and that's lasting. That's what I want for us. And that's who I know we can be. But you've got to jump on board with that. You've got to help me because I can't do it myself. So this morning, I want to pray for us. And I want to pray that this would just become kind of a new chapter. And here's the thing, if you're new here this morning or if you've been here while I've been gone, I'm so glad that you're here. And I want to invite you to be a part of this. I want to invite you to have a relationship with Jesus. I want this church to become your church home, and I want to make that as easy as possible. And I want you to go at your own pace in discovering your faith. And I just want you to be welcomed here and have a good experience. But more than anything, I want you to have a life that matters. Because that's why Jesus came, to give you a life so you could have it to the full. not halfway, not struggling, but to the full.